Hi, everyone, and welcome to Retro Vanderpump Rules Party. I'm Holly Borquez, and today I am joined by the retro podcaster who is the friend of the podcast here, Chad.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And we're finally back, you guys. We're going to be covering today Season 2, Episode 5, Surlesque. Surlesque. Is that how you say it? So
it's a play on words, like burlesque.
So, I know. I like messed up the esque.
What was going on at the time? Was there like a huge resurgence of burlesque clubs or movies?
You know, at this time, Sarah and I did go see Dita Von Teese. Did you come to that?
No, but I remember you guys talking about that.
Yeah, we went. It was at the House of Blues.
No, I did actually. Yeah.
And we saw Narnia, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it was...
Narnia was my friend who I worked with in L.A. Yeah, we saw her. Yeah, Dita Von Teese like did the whole burlesque show in the martini glass. It was really fun.
Yeah, yeah. House of Blues. That's before.
So maybe, you know, they really had their hand on the pulse of...
I think so. I think there was a little bit of a resurgence of burlesque at the time. I think Stassi even mentions it in that episode.
She said that her and Katie had taken a few classes and were into it.
Yeah, that's right.
I just don't really see Stassi the type to take any class, so I find that hard to believe that she participated in exercise or a group activity.
Well, if you can combine it with, you know, yoga or whatever, you know, trend is going on at the time, I think they're usually into it, you know.
It makes it more fun.
Yeah. What's the new thing right now? What are they combining with yoga?
Goat yoga.
Goat yoga. What's that?
You go to like a place and like goats, like you do your pose and goats will stand on you.
What?
I'm serious.
They'll stand on you?
Like, you know, you do like downward dog and the goat like stands on your back.
Like, is this like free range goats or are they like tethered to something?
No, they like just like come and like join in.
Is this like outside? Are you
outside?
Like,
you're so you're just one with nature, animals, everything.
And they just come trotting along.
People are into it.
Did they launch themselves off of you? You know, like those.
I hope. I
remember those goats video. Those goat videos where they, you know, that one goat. He's like jumping off of other goats, and yeah, goats are
making a strange comeback.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, so you guys, before we jump into the episode, I want to get a little bit of business out of the way. We are having a viewing party December 3rd. You guys know that's when the episode starts, or season 7 starts. It's the premiere. We are hosting a premiere party. Sarah and I are so excited. This is our first meetup, and we're so, we were kind of nervous to do it, and we're like, should we do it? Should we not? But we're just like, screw it. This season is going to be amazing. We have to do it. So here's the plan. We are going to be having a viewing party. So at 5, the episode is December 3rd. On Monday. So I know that's kind of a bummer for you guys that have to get out there in traffic, which we're going to do it too, but it's going to be worth it. So at 5 p.m., we're going to be doing like a little pre-game partying at a bar that's at the hotel where we're going to view the episode. So the party is at the W Hotel in Los Angeles. Now, don't make the mistake that I made when I was doing our flyer. Sarah had to correct me. I put the W in Hollywood. It's not Hollywood. It's Los Angeles, West Beverly Hills. So remember that. Anyway, so we're going to be at the living room bar. So right there in the hotel lobby. I know you guys are probably nervous to come. I would be too. I'm nervous to see you too. But just come. I promise. Come have a drink with us, hang out. Sarah and I have done so much to get ready for this. We're going to have a fully themed party. I don't want to give anything away, but let's just say that I bought a fountain, like a fondue fountain. So any guesses what we're going to do there? We're going to have all Vanderpump stuff. We got gift bags made. We have bags for you guys to take home with so much stuff in it. And none of it is sponsored. It's all Vanderpump Rules. You're going to freak out. Then after that, we're going to go. So from cocktails are 5 to 6. At 6 o'clock, we're going to go up to the room, watch the episode. Like I said, we're going to have the hotel suite totally all Vanderpump Rules. you know, themed out. And then we're going to go bar hopping to Tom Tom, Sir, and Pump. So we're going to do a little Vander Crawl after the episode. So if you can't make it to the hotel in time, come to one of the things. Come to just the viewing, or just come meet us at Tom Tom. And we'll give our contact information closer to when the event happens, so you guys can text us too. We really want everyone to join in. We'll be going live. If you guys aren't in the California area, I'm so sorry. Hopefully we'll be coming everywhere soon to hang out with you. But we're so excited. So we really hope you guys can come. We've had a huge response. We're really excited. Our very own Heather is flying from New York, you guys. She got a ticket to fly all the way from New York to Cali. So if you're on the fence, you know, if you live in Orange County and you're not sure if you want to make the drive, Heather's coming from New York. So you can do it. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be fun. The episode's going to be amazing. And I don't want to say who's coming because I don't want to jinx it, but let's just say we have had some cast members and former cast members RSVP to our viewing party. No joke.
Yeah, there's been some rumblings, guys. So Vanderpump Rules party fans, you know, you got some special...
We may have some really big photo ops. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, Holly's been working very hard on this whole thing. So she's trying to put together a great event for you guys. So,
and Sarah too. And I'm going to be recording with Sarah on Tuesday night. I'm so sorry, you guys. We were supposed to record last night, but Sarah has her mom here, her family. It's tough right now with the holidays. We probably shouldn't have promised too much because it's just getting crazy. But we're here. Sarah and I are recording on Tuesday. Also with a special guest. We're going to have a guest on that podcast. And it should be super cool. So we will give you more details. Sarah has even more ideas than me for the party. Maybe we'll give you guys some more little tidbits of what's going on and maybe whisper about our guests. But I'm so excited. And I just want to meet you guys. I just want to hang out. I just want to watch the episode and be around like-minded people. It's going to be so much fun. So let's get into it. So we have the Sirlesque episode. Now, I feel like every episode that we talk about retro, we say like, this was like the best episode. It was so iconic, blah, 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 blah. But this really is a great episode. And watching these episodes, it's like, I was thinking about it when I was just driving Ronnie to school. It's like, it's not like walking down the hall of like your high school locker room, because that didn't like where your lockers are. That doesn't always feel good. It feels better than that. It's like walking through... just like, it's like being with an old friend or something. I can't describe the feeling of these retro episodes.
Well, these laid the foundation for what was to come. So in the early days, we had a lot of unfiltered, unbridled, you know, testosterone and you know, hijinks going on.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't a lot of, I mean, they weren't stars yet.
Yeah, they weren't as self-aware of their image and what each thing meant that they were going to be doing.
Yeah, so you kind of got a look into the real personalities of these guys.
Yes. And I also think that I get nostalgic looking back on these episodes because it really is a time we've watched them grow up. We watched them in this point of their life of really having their apartments are just so bare, and you can just tell it's exactly like working at a restaurant. You live paycheck to paycheck. You're making a lot of cash, but you know, you still are paying a lot for rent, and everything is just, you can just feel like that hunger. I don't know. Okay, so on this episode, it starts out with Natalie asking, saying that she wants to plan a birthday party for... So this episode starts out with Natalie coming to Stassi and Katie, and she like is kind of acting like she has like this big thing going on. She's like, girls, listen up. I'm thinking about throwing a surprise party for Guillermo. Now, just a sidebar really quick, because you don't always get to go to Sir with me because you're usually watching the kids.
Yeah.
But Guillermo and Natalie are a fixture at Sir. They're there almost every night I've ever been there.
Uh-huh.
Just because I feel like sometimes people don't know that they honestly really work there every freaking night.
Well, I mean, if I had a successful business that was you know, producing a great income, most likely, and TV show and, you know, lots of other good stuff, I'd be there every night too. It sounds like a lot of fun to make sure that that is, you know, carrying on. But when they're not filming, it's just regular restaurant. Everything's just, you know, as is.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I feel like when you walk in there, I know a lot of people would disagree with me, but I feel like it's a kind of a magical place. I walk in there and it just feels like there's always something going on, even when there's not, even when there's only Jeremy there or Guillermo or Peter, it's still really fun. And I really think it's died down now that TomTom is popping off.
Is that the new spot?
Yes. When Sarah and I went to TomTom, we swung over to Sir because Jeremy was there. He texted and said, come say hi. So we walked over there and it was, we have never seen it like that ever. Like you could actually see the countertop at the bar. It was a ghost town. I will say it was later. It was like 11, but we, even at 11 o'clock, we've never seen it like that. So on December 3rd, when we go for our viewing party, we definitely are going to go walk over there, check out the alley, see what's going on, just to, you know, see, especially on a premiere night. Let's see how it is over there. Is Sir truly dead?
Yeah.
We've also seen like a resurgence of Peter. Like he's really unbuttoning his shirt and posting a lot on Instagram right now and saying hashtag come see me at Sir. It seems like he's trying to drum up some business.
Trying to draw in the crowd.
He didn't really care for a while there. I felt like, you know, it was just easy. Everyone just came in there, but now he's really hustling again. So anyway, Natalie wants to throw this party for Guillermo. And so they get like a couple of burlesque dancers to come in.
This is Guillermo's, Lisa had mentioned this too, which I thought was kind of crazy. Guillermo was, was this his 40th birthday?
45th, I think, or something.
I think it was...
No, it was not a big birthday. That's why it was kind of weird. It was like... I don't know.
So from what I remember... Sorry, guys. If I'm off here, let me know. But from what I recall, this is what stuck with me, is that it was like his 40th birthday or something. Something like that.
And I guarantee you it was an off... It was not a big one like that.
Well, okay. Well, so Lisa talked about him coming to, you know, the United States only how many years ago?
I don't know.
Maybe 10 years ago, something to that effect. Okay. So he hasn't been here that long. And she says in that amount of time, he opened his own, restaurant and this and that. So I guess he started with nothing. He didn't really he didn't start with very much, and look where he is. This is what she was saying. So, I was kind of impressed. Like, what did he do that was
How did he get to the successful place in his life?
What was his trajectory? What was his story here? Because, I mean, we've been following around the cast of Vanderpump Rules for a long time, and they're just kind of now just, you know, starting to make their moves, you know. I guess maybe he's from an older sort of generation.
You know what? That's a good point, Chad. I would like to deep dive Guillermo because if you check out his Instagram, it gets even like freakier. He is a model. He is an actor. He is like...
I just want to know more about Guillermo. Like, did he take the same route as the other kids? You know, I think that's I feel like that's a very popular route for somebody who moves here from somewhere else, that, you know, they're chasing their dream. They go the actor model route and they, are sometimes successful. Sometimes they're not. I mean, but a lot of people who get into that whole Hollywood crowd, at least to have fun, you know, they're partying or they're doing whatever. It's, you know, it's either work or party, you know,
right.
Sometimes it's both, but, what made him so, you know, focused and driven now, you know, this is where he's at. Cause I mean, I'd say he's pretty successful. But yeah, I'd like to know more about Guillermo.
Where did Lisa Vanderpump find him? How did that partnership happen?
Yeah. I have a feeling maybe he's got a little bit more clout than she's saying, you know, cause Lisa's, I don't think she just talks to anybody. I mean, she's not going to just, give you a chance unless you got something to back it up. So maybe he comes from a prominent family or something, or a certain relationship, you know, who knows. But anyway, the burlesque or surlesque party, themed party, is being set up for Guillermo by Natalie, who is Natalie's his wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Natalie's his wife. Did they get married in California? Are they, you know, did they come here from another place?
You know, I've never heard someone like so interested in finding out. Like, maybe everyone else is too. Like, you guys let us know. Do you guys want to know the story of Guillermo and Natalie?
It's just like bothering me now. Like, I have to know. Like, what's up with Guillermo and Natalie? What are their...
Nathalie.
Nathalie?
And it's N-A-T-H... Nathalie.
Oh, okay.
No, it's Natalie, but that just like really throws me off.
Okay. No, I mean, I want to know more. I'm curious now.
I am too. Now you've got, I'm curious too. Okay. So she brings in these two girls to show them, to give them guidance on how to do the dance. And also, I think they wanted them to have backup. You know, they wanted it to be very sexy. Lisa just doesn't throw a sexy party. It has to be like uber sexy.
Yeah.
So
these are the girls. These are the professional dancer girls.
Yes.
Okay.
So Lisa comes to look on at the dance and she's like, oh, girls, if you're going to do it, you need to do it way sexier like this. And then she like, you know, grabs a little scarf and like shimmies around. She's like, come on, Stassi and Katie, can't you guys do better? You know, basically shames them about their dancing and tells them they better like really pull it together.
Lisa starts popping and locking. She breaks a hip.
Yeah.
No, she's in pretty good shape, huh?
No, Lisa is just, you know, she puts everyone to shame. And she just, you know, that sexy, unique restaurant. It's just, it is who she is.
Yeah, Katie and Stassi are a little robotic, you know? They don't seem to have the moves.
I don't think they've come into their own yet at this point. You know, maybe they're just not feeling like as confident. Lisa's lived her life like she's like fully confident and like, and that comes through.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we have that go, that's brewing in the corner. You know, the surlesque thing. They're working on it. They're working on their dance.
Choreography.
Yes. So we move over to Ariana. Now, this is the big, you know, unveiling of Ariana. We've been setting it up for the last couple episodes. She's coming on, you know, she's moving over to Sir. Lisa really, you know, it's hard to get a female bartender. This is just really going to help. The bar is so busy at Sir, which was all true. At this time, you know, Villa Blanca originally was like their hot spot. Then they opened Sir and it started just booming. So
she came from Villa Blanca.
Mm-hmm.
Sheena came from Villa Blanca and that's where their friendship
right
blossomed.
Right. And as you OG listeners know, Sarah and I went to Villa Blanca numerous times and Sheena was our server. So at like 11 o'clock in the day, like this wasn't even like an evening dinner or anything. Like she was there at like 10:30 a.m.
For many years.
Yeah, for many years.
And also during the time of when Vanderpump Rules was.
Yeah, it was fully popular. Airing like it. Crazy. Sheena has always been working there.
And nobody was bothering her. I remember you were telling me that nobody was bothering any of them during their working or during the.
Yeah, it was really weird. Like now it's really changed. Now, like it's just like everyone is. Sometimes you'll still go into Tom Tom or to Sir and people will act like they're not looking at them, but they are. You know, like people, some people are still acting really cool, but for the most part, everyone is there to see them. And
I wonder if there's a like a family out there or a couple who's just stumbled upon, you know, Sir, and they're like, wow, this is, you know, we saw the ad online, you know, we went to
we just wanted to try out this restaurant. We saw it on Yelp.
Yeah, we saw it on Yelp and it just had 4 stars or, you know.
The other day the last time we were at Sir, I believe it was during one of the See You Next Tuesday nights or something. And Sarah and I got a table on purpose just so we could have somewhere to sit. And there was a family there, like with like a young girl, like I'm going to say she was like 12, like not even like in her teens, like preteen. And they told us, oh, like, you know, our daughter just really wanted to come and see, you know, some of the Vanderpump Rules people, but they never spoke up and they never said anything to their server like, oh, we're excited to be here or something like that. All you have to do is kind of say something and someone will come over.
I think a lot of people are intimidated, you know, with the celebrity aspect because they don't know how they're going to react and they feel bad. I mean, you have like two extremes. You have people that, you know, they don't say anything and they're just quiet. And then you have those people that won't leave the celebrity alone.
And both actually like ruin it because the ones who like won't leave them alone give like a fan a bad name.
Yeah.
And then the other ones who don't say anything, like sometimes they'll write like a mean tweet and be like, well, you know, I saw Stassi at Sir, but she didn't say anything to me, but they're so quiet. Like they don't even.
Yeah.
Say, I don't know.
No, my best advice when meeting a celebrity would be coming from a celebrity. So this is me talking, guys, because, you know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So when meeting someone like me, you can just be yourself. No. I'm just kidding. Don't be yourself. Be anything but yourself. Celebrities don't like you because we're so much better. No. Check it out. Say hi, be polite, and, you know, tell them, you know, you're a big fan. And tell them what you want or what you'd like to do. Picture or, you know, to say hi or whatever. And if they say yes, cool. And, you know, be respectful. And if they say no, then just move on. You know, don't take it personal. And, you know, there's a lot of other celebrities out there. You know, move on to your next favorite celebrity. Some of them won't be as inviting or warm, you know, but that just kind of gives you the indication that maybe it's not the right time or it's not the right celebrity.
Like Chad Michael Murray.
Yeah, Chad Michael Murray. He was a good example. We met him at a concert. And I'm talking like nobody was there. It was early. It was like a VIP section.
The Sunset Music Festival.
Yeah, Sunset Music Festival many, many years ago. And yeah, he wasn't really doing anything. And Holly liked Chad Michael Murray from that show. What's the show?
One Tree Hill.
Like, I don't know the show.
Yeah.
One Tree Hill. And, you know, she just went to go say hello. And he was kind of like a dick. Like, he automatically he was like, oh, like, I don't have time right now. You know, I'll come talk to you in a second. She just was like, I'm just going to go say hi. He was milling around an area, kind of, you know, just. It looked like he was looking for someone to say hi to him.
I felt like he was like, come on, like this is a VIP area. You're not supposed to be bothering me. But literally no one else was looking at him. He could have got it over with. So he made a bigger deal about it and turned it into a big deal. But it could have just been like, let's take a picture.
And then he wouldn't stop like talking to Holly. Like he wouldn't stop bugging her. You know, like he like stuck around a little too long and she's like, okay, all right, I'll, you know, cool. And he was like, but here, check this out. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
He's like, do you follow me on Twitter? No, that's not the story. The story is that Sarah said, let me buy you a drink. And then you captured the whole thing on video. It actually has thousands and thousands of views on YouTube of me getting denied a picture.
Okay.
And Sarah buying him a drink. And so after Sarah bought him a drink and I'm standing behind them like a 3-year-old, like, mommy, can I have a drink too? he's like, I guess I can take a picture with you. And I was like, no, it's okay. Like I denied him. I'm like, yeah. I don't want one now. Like now that you got your $5 drink, you're going to give me a picture. F off.
I mean,
so
I
don't follow him on Twitter now.
Yeah. And then Gene Simmons came and everybody took off after Gene Simmons.
Yeah, everyone's like, yeah, Chad Michael Murray who?
Yeah. I mean, come on. Who remembers Chad Michael Murray?
I think everyone does.
Yeah, I'm just being bitter. But me too. So yeah, that's a good example. If it's not your celebrity or it's not their time.
No, but really, I mean, I've had bad experiences with some of the cast members of Vanderpump Rules too, where like, you know, I'll think maybe they kind of weren't as nice as they could have been. And they don't know who I am or they don't know, you know, what we do. You really can't take it personally. And if you sit back and you watch that favorite celebrity of yours, you will see why sometimes they act the way they do. They have to take so many pictures. They can't, like, now it's crazy. Like, I feel bad for them. I really don't bother them anymore because it's just, they're just getting slammed with people asking for photos.
Yeah. It's kind of, one after the other type of picture and you know thing, but my advice is you know, if they're willing to converse, then cool, you know, go for it. And
but yeah, I would say nothing wrong with that. You can ask, absolutely ask, like, don't be afraid. Okay. So anyways, Ariana. So we have her. She is coming over and Sheena's excited. Sheena is finally getting a friend to come over. She's like just glowing. She's so happy to have Ariana come. And so she's introducing her around to like some of the new people. And
she's got an ally who's a little bit more on point than Sheena is. You know, she's not real susceptible to bullying. And
yeah, and it's kind of like, I don't know, like if you've ever encountered this, but sometimes I have friends who aren't friends with some of my other groups of friends, and I'll tell that one friend like, oh my gosh, so this is what's going on, like she always does this to me or blah blah blah. And then when you finally get those two friends together, that friend will act like an ally. She'll be like, well, wait a second, what about you know, do you want to do it this way? Like your friend will help fight your battles for you if you tell them all the issues that are going on. So I don't know. I definitely recognize that Ariana was going to fight some of Sheena's battles for her. And Sheena was so excited because she knew that Ariana was going to kill it.
Yeah, I think Ariana heard some of the horrible shit that, you know, Sheena had been talking about, was, you know, going on with her and some of the girls and coming on to, you know, the new property to Sir, you know, as a newer employee. You know, maybe she wasn't treated as welcoming in the beginning.
So the next scene we have Kristen and Stassi getting Stassi's helping Kristen get ready for her passport photo. Passport photos are important because I don't think they change very often. Now, have you ever had a passport?
No.
I've only had one, and that's because I went to Israel during like a high school trip. That was the only time I've ever left the country. But apparently passport photos are very important.
This is part of the episode?
Yes.
Are you sure about that?
Positive.
Okay. So what are they doing?
Kristen is like in her closet, like just a classic Kristen like mechanics. You know how she like moves her body around just like so awkwardly, and like she's like shrugging her shoulder around. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what about this? What about this? So they're like, it's like a ridiculous scene. Okay. And then they get a phone call and it's Jax. He's calling Stassi and he says, hey, what's up? I'm in the hospital. So it's basically we're dealing with like a very superficial scene that turns serious. Mm-hmm. And
so what's Kristen getting? Like she's trying to prepare for this photo. She's trying to look her best.
Yeah, she's having Stassi style her. This is when Stassi was really still into styling. Mm-hmm. And so she thought that Stassi would be a good person to help her, you know, perfect that look. Maybe a statement necklace, maybe a nice neckline, something that would look good.
Mm-hmm. Does Stassi still have her? She doesn't still have that blog, does she? The fashion blog?
She's updated it a little bit. I think she's starting to get back into it a little bit, but
I mean, do people still blog? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, no? They do.
Cool.
Okay, so he's in the hospital and he's feeling scared. He has a lump in his chest and it hurts. Basically alluding to it, does he have cancer?
Okay, now this is a pretty sensitive topic and they tackled it, I think, pretty well because they were able to still not make fun of it, but make Jax look like a total baby.
They did do that well.
Yeah, because this could have been disastrous. Like it could have really been like, you guys are making fun of a serious situation. Stassi's making fun of a serious situation. Nobody's caring about this. And like a lot of people die from these serious issues. So, you know, what the heck? Why is it turned into some comedic, you know, take on what's going on? It's because nobody steps in to do anything. This is, I guess, this is the deciding factor. Nobody steps in to do anything. They basically just let Jax, I was going to call him Jack, freak out and deteriorate and kind of sink himself.
Like work it out himself, kind of?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Stassi lays the foundation and says, this is what he does. He lies, he cheats, he steals, and then he wants everybody to feel sorry for him. And then he goes and he makes something up. Or he gets dramatic about something, we end up finding out it's nothing because he's just basically a liar. So that happens, and that process is what we get to see through this whole episode.
Right.
You know, basically it's Jax through...
But the other thing, it's interesting that you bring that up, But he truly did have something removed. Like, there was a problem. So yeah, was there's so definitely, he, so there, he wasn't lying.
No, there's definitely something there. But, you know, it was like everybody was saying it's probably nothing.
So Stassi has a theory that it's from the supplements and protein shakes that he constantly eats and drinks.
Yes.
Now, we saw in the retro episode a couple of episodes back, remember when they went to Big Bear for Tom's performance? Remember, he brought his whole carton of protein.
Yeah, he had a whole giant
jug
of creatine.
Yes.
Wait, wasn't that Tom, though? Or was it Jax?
Jax.
Oh, okay.
And they said, why'd you have to bring that much? Like, couldn't you just bring it in like a little baggie? And he said, no, he needed the whole jug.
Yeah, yeah.
Jar.
I wouldn't.
Were they setting us up for this scene?
Could be. Yeah.
God, I mean, but they're brilliant.
I mean, that was I guess just like his daily regimen. I think he even said this is just for like a couple days or something. But no, I mean, I guess that would create.
Now, when you were in high school, were you ever around guys that were into this, that were pumping themselves with this? And did anyone ever have this issue?
Definitely. No. Not this issue. I think it probably happens to older people, but kids, no. I think they had enough of that in their bodies already. But no, I always saw that was protein supplements was a big thing, you know, protein packs or things of that nature. But a lot of people use their, you know, modified their diet and whatnot. And actually steroids. I remember that was being a real popular thing.
Yeah.
Kids were actually doing that stuff.
I mean, when I watched this episode, that's what I was wondering, if that's with Stassi's underlying, like when she was saying protein shakes and supplements, if she was really saying steroids.
Could be.
Could steroids do that? Because didn't Tamara's son, he had to have a breast thing also, and it was because of steroids.
Yeah, he was getting like man boobs. Yeah, it's a thing. It's a definite, side effect actually to that. I'm not sure exactly what the growths are, but I think it's an overproduction of testosterone. But no, I would say maybe that's something to do with it. I mean, that's more popular. Steroids are a lot more popular than I think people realize. But I mean, these supplements are kind of the same sort of route, you know, they're producing.
Right.
You know, they're making your body produce more of this certain chemical, you know, so. But no, we definitely go through. So Jax is scared because cancer runs in his family. Now, did his dad have breast cancer?
No, I'm not sure all of the kinds of cancers that he has, but I think don't quote me on this.
He's just saying it runs in his family.
Yes. It's unfortunately his father just passed away from that. Yeah, so it's very sad. They really did tackle a very difficult subject in a way that kept it light and where we were laughing with him.
Well, yeah. So he got, and
I think that's in large part due to Stassi.
She set the stage.
Yeah.
It was like telling the crew or the writers, look, just back off. This isn't anything. You'll see what the outcome is eventually, because he always does this. You know, he does something terrible and then something bad happens to him, and he sits around and waiting for people's sympathy.
You know,
does all this terrible shit. And then he wants.
I did a post this week on our Instagram and Facebook group. One of the producers of Vanderpump Rules, Jeremiah Smith, shout out. He started a new podcast and it's called Working Class Hollywood. And he's going to be doing pieces about behind the scenes stuff, you know, how it works. And he was interviewing the founder of Evolution Media, who did The Hills, who does Vanderpump Rules. Mm-hmm. And I have a huge interest in finding out how they put these stories together, because they do it so flawlessly. I know this is their life and this is supposed to be reality and everything, but these stories are put together so well. I want to know how they do it. Like, I want to hear that part. But what I found was interesting is they hit the Evolution Media guys. Background was in docuseries. Like, he would do documentaries. And kind of like Shane Dawson. Is anyone a YouTuber? Anyone watching the Shane Dawson series? Like, it's exactly what they're doing. They're recording everything that happens to these people. They're 24-hour day, and then they are telling the story how they want to tell it.
Yeah, I mean, they're extracting the dirt. They're extracting the juice. I mean, this is what they do, so they've become very efficient at this.
But you can tell the story how you want.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like they decide who's going to look good and who's going to not look good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it depends on what's there also. And, you know, you got somebody who's always sort of, you know, getting into ish then.
He also made a comment that I thought was really interesting. And it made me think of when, because I would say every season we have someone who has a rough season. Like last season, for instance, Sheena had a really hard season. They made her just look crazy.
This season was James.
Yeah.
Living in an apartment, having trouble with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Shunned by Lala. Looks like he's going to have another rough season, actually.
Really rough season.
James has been going through a lot of turmoil.
So what the guy said on last week's episode of the podcast is he said, what we ask of the cast members is to give us everything. It's going to hurt. You're going to be embarrassed. You're going to go through a lot. But we will give you a chance to either change, ask for forgiveness, or to earn back all of the people who you pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's interesting because every year, pretty much someone has to be that person. And like, I just wonder like what they tell him, like, all right, James, you're up. Or like Jax, like, you know, Jax is constantly going through it.
Yeah.
You know, people hate him, they love him, but pretty much he F's it up every time.
I mean, but he's had the most longevity out of everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and the biggest spotlight.
Yes.
And
constant. And a spinoff.
Yeah. And the opportunities are there. I mean, yeah, think about, let's compare that. Sorry, guys, I don't mean to get off topic. Compare that with the Estasi. She's a little bit more reserved, a little bit less willing to go in deep. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like she wants to be seen in a favorable light.
Right.
Until she can't dictate that, until something bad happens, then she's kind of got to roll with the punches. But then she just kind of splits or does something else or lays low.
But I think that's why the producers are able to pull that out of her is because she literally really loses it every season and they capture that. And then she's kind of known as this like crazy bad girl.
Mm-hmm.
When that's really not her, she just freaks out and they capture it.
Yeah.
Because she said like she's not really that like, you know,
wild
or like
outspoken.
Like she said on Queen Bees, that on that show, that the first reality show that she did, like that's not her personality. She's not a mean girl. She's not this, like it would like really took a lot out of her.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we love. So I don't know. It's just,
I think that's not who she is when she's getting her way, maybe. Or
yeah,
when she's with people that are like Patrick, who are kind of more of a dominant personality.
Right.
But when she's around people who are like Jax, who she can just shit all over, I think she gets a little bit more aggressive. But because we see it here. I mean, she's still in the first couple seasons are definitely Jack's on the Spitfire here. He's getting roasted. And she will not pull any punches with Jax after, you know, what they've been through, their whole relationship. She is going to make him pay. And she said that. And he's still working towards her affection right here, right?
Yeah.
This is another thing that I think he's trying to do, is he's trying to draw her back in with a sob story.
But totally.
It's not working. She's just...
But you know what? I did feel like when she took the phone call that he was at the hospital, she did say that she felt bad and that, you know, no matter how shitty of a person that he is, like she doesn't want him sitting there by himself and being scared.
Yeah.
So we do see these redeeming sides of Stassi where it's like, oh, she does care. You know, like I think she will be there for her friends if they ever needed her. And in real life, we saw that when Jax's father passed away, she attended his funeral. You know, she just like little things like that where you'll see like she actually is loyal to the person when they need her.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, whatever. Okay, so really quick, like this scene doesn't even matter, but I thought you and I could talk about it for a second. So Tom and Ariana are dealing with a rumor that there's something going on between them. They have like crazy chemistry that everyone's commenting on in the restaurant. And there's a rumor that they hooked up in the past. And Kristen is on the warpath to figure it out. Stassi thinks that something's up and wants to defend her friend to the death. And basically, she just hates Tom Sandoval, I think, and wants to take him down.
She just hates Tom. Yeah, she hates Tom. She hates...
She hates anyone who's unfaithful, or like she just loves calling someone like a whore.
She hates a cheating whore is what Stassi hates.
Yes.
I think she likes to say that more than anything else. Cheating whore. Like,
she says it even like whore. Like she really gets into it.
Yeah. What's up with that? Like, this is what I think happened. Stassi's dad cheated on her mom. That's what happened, right?
It must have. Something. She has a chip on her shoulder about this.
Big time. So like maybe like some chick, like some socialite was dating her dad or something to that.
I feel like it was like a secretary.
Yes. Like a young secretary.
Yeah.
And it was like, she's all dolled up and she's just all glamorous.
And Stassi's dad would be like, sweetie, I have to go in and sign documents. And mm-hmm. So Stassi would be like, okay, dad, I'll come with you. And he's like, no, why don't you stay home? And she's like, no, I insist, I'm coming with you. And so then they'd make her like sit out in like the reception area, and Stassi would like see the girl in like her like little like pencil skirt and heels and like lifting her leg in the office. And she like knew.
And she like looked her up and down. She's like, like she could just tell.
Yeah.
Like her radar just...
And that's when she started hating cheating whores.
Well, that's when she started following her, actually. She started stalking the girl, right? She would follow her, like, to...
Like, she would ditch Catholic school and follow her.
Yeah. She would go to, like... She'd follow her to spin class and Pilates. She employed Katie and Kristen, even though she didn't know them at the time. She employed their services of their detective agency.
Yeah, yeah.
And they followed her.
Something is definitely up.
They found out her dad was
but anyways,
cheating.
Yeah, Tom and Ariana are... So all these rumors are going on about them, and everyone's talking about it. And they decide that it's a good idea to go like thrift store shopping on... What street is that in LA?
Melrose.
Okay.
Together, alone.
Yeah. So Chad and I have hit these stores often. I thought that you would maybe have like some insight on these stores for people who don't live in LA.
Okay. These stores are your classic Melrose vintage store. Okay. They have a lot of leather jackets, a lot of old, disgusting cowboy boots and combat boots to that effect. Really nasty looking stuff, but vintage. I mean, some of it's not vintage.
I would say when you and I first started going down there, so like 2001-ish, 2002, like it was kind of cool. Like you could go in there and get a costume. But then around like 2005, 6, it became incredibly trendy to shop at these places and the prices skyrocketed.
No, I would say like the early 2000s, it was a really... like that vintage look was pretty popular, and then I feel like it sort of went away for a big chunk of the time. You know, it's kind of come and gone. People still buy that stuff, especially in LA. But yeah, no, I felt it kind of like, you know, just died down. But there's been a resurgence in the last 4 or 5 years of vintage clothing, t-shirts and whatnot. So yeah, I think people are into it again.
Did you feel like it was like painful that they were going to a thrift shop? Like, do you think that Kristen would have enjoyed doing that with Tom?
Yeah, I think Kristen would have. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. It seems like she's like into, you know, bands like Fleetwood Mac, etc.
Well, we get to see her tuning her guitar in this episode.
Oh, really?
And strumming, yes. Remember we talked about Kristen and playing guitar? Yes. And she taught Tom and whatnot? Yeah, she's playing her guitar and tuning it like a pro.
Fucking love to have Kristen come play guitar for me.
That'd be amazing. Is there any videos of her doing this anywhere? Like,
I wonder what it would take to have Kristen come play.
To book Kristen for your
party?
Like
fuck having like James DJ. Mm-hmm. Like, I want Kristen to just come strum her guitar.
Sing Taylor Swift?
No, just whatever she wants. Like, she can do whatever she wants.
Her own originals?
Just like, I want her to like sit on a stool with like a spotlight on her. Mm-hmm. Like coffee house-esque.
Yeah.
But she can rock out a little too if she wants to. Like, that doesn't have to be like moody.
Shake her hair up and...
Yeah. She can wear her like James May t-shirts. Mm-hmm. She has, you know, a band t-shirt line.
Yeah.
Yeah. This would be very on brand for her. Okay. Anyways. So...
So shopping, vintage stores. Yes. No, this seems like it's them. They're, you know, they like this kind of stuff. Tom's into I guess he's into vintage clothing.
It just didn't make any sense to me. I thought the whole scene was hurtful. If I was Kristen, I would be pissed.
Oh yeah, for sure. They're trying to mend their relationship. There's rumors going around, and then now they're shopping together.
Like, I feel like it would have been better if all three of them went. So then they were showing like, oh look, like we're all just like, it's cool. But no, it was just Tom and Ariana, and it was painful.
I think he's maybe he's trying to double down on the whole, like, I have nothing to hide.
Oh, for sure.
So I'm taking her to the, you know, it's a place where we're alone. And
it's because I'm training her for Sir. Like, I'm just trying to be nice and welcoming. It's no big deal, Kristen. But all the time, like, I just feel like they are just gaslighting Kristen. Like, it would just make me orbit into going crazy.
And does this ever get back to her? Like, everything gets back to Kristen. Does this ever get back to her, that they were shopping on Melrose together?
I don't know that if it was brought up. That's a good question.
Maybe it was a show thing where they were like, look, you have to go.
Oh, I'm sure. Still, I don't like it. Okay, so Jax is home from the hospital, and Stassi decides to check in on him to see if he's okay. And she brings him a Baskin-Robbins ice cream cake, which I thought was really nice. Uh-huh. And she even had the person at the store, you know, get the little gel pen out and write "no more supplements" on it. Mm-hmm. And so she presents him with the cake. He's not really impressed. He's like, he's kind of doing that thing where he's like shrugging a lot. She's like, Jax, like, what's going on? Like, what did they say? And he's like, I don't know. You know, I'm like, pretty much like, I might be dying, Stassi. So I hope you came here to be nice to me.
He's in shock right now, right?
That's a nice way to say it. Yeah.
This is the seven stages of grief. Okay. And Jax is in the first stage, which is shock and denial. So he's not accepting it. And he's just like off into his own world. He can't deal. So he's like an out of body experience.
Yes.
But maybe we can call this the seven stages of Jax, because it doesn't actually adhere to the same sort of emotional grid or
okay.
Okay. So what he's actually feeling right here, I think, is bitterness towards Stassi, because nobody believes him. And he was looking for a bigger reaction. He was looking for a bigger sympathy train.
Yes. I guess
maybe some flowers, a little bit of sympathy sex.
Like some hugs, some cuddling.
Yes, some cuddling that leads to something else. Like, this was his in right here, right? This is just as good.
Like,
as,
it got her to come over.
Yes, this is just as good as like my mother died or
you my know, grandma. Yeah,
yes, something to that effect. He could have really used that to reel her back in. This is just as good, but it's not working, and I think that's why he's a little perturbed, you know. So I would say he's, yeah, seven stages of Jax. He's first stage, bitter.
So, yeah, he was definitely expecting like a sympathetic Stassi to come over and like hug him or to like ask him how he's feeling. And he was ready to like really lay it on. But instead, she just kind of blares through the door, hands him his cake that says "no more supplements" and says, "What are you doing?" She spots like some protein powder on the counter and like zooms over to his cupboards, whips the cupboards open, and like placed on the shelf strategically as like bottle, 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 all lined up. There's nothing else in the cupboard but these supplements. And she's like, "Jax, that's it. This is the same as taking drugs." And he's like scratching his head and he's like, "Do you know how much that's worth?" And she's shoving it down the drains, which was very triggering to me. It's like, where does she think that's going to go? Like, the pills were just like starting to like pile up into like a volcano in his sink. And it's like a rental, you know, it's like not great pipes. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, I've told full on capsules, you know, like just piling up like a volcano.
You're going to shut down the building's plumbing. Like,
yeah. And the plumber's going to come and like all these pills are just going to like fly out.
Stassi seems like the kind of person to me that like dumps like newspaper down the toilet or like mail. You know?
Yeah.
Like, just shoves a bunch of shit.
Like, she like does what she needs to do and then she like, she'll deal with the consequences later or she'll like call someone like, fix it. Like, she's like, "I don't know what's wrong with my toilet." And the guy comes in and he's like, "There's like a newspaper down it." And she's like, "Well,
there's the Sunday newspaper."
She's like, "I like swatted a fly and I had to throw it in the trash. I don't know."
There's like, she'll unwrap a present on the toilet and dump all the paper straight down the
Yeah.
The bowl.
Yeah.
Try to flush it. Okay, so Jax, he's not getting the response. She comes at him with what she calls a tough love, but I think it's just being straight tough. There's no more love left. And she's...
And then he does this thing that Jax does so well, is he becomes like incredibly dismissive and cuts her off, where she's like, he's like, all right, enough. Like, if you're not gonna, like, then just leave. Like, they argue, but like, they're both of them cut each other off. And so it just ends. And so he asks her to leave. She's miffed that like he's not taking her help, and he's annoyed that she's not being sympathetic. So that ends very quickly. And there's no love.
Like, that's the second stage of Jax.
Okay, what's that stage?
Dismissiveness. Contrite.
Yes.
Yeah. So we got bitterness, contrite.
So he's off. Now he's just like, he's reeling because he's like, what the hell? Like, I'm saying that I have cancer. Stassi doesn't give a shit. So he goes to the next place where he can get some attention. He heads over to Schwartz and Tom's to announce that he has cancer. And once again, they don't believe him. Like, they're like, they just start like barbecuing and
they start pounding supplements.
Yeah. They're just like, well, here, have like a kale juice then.
Yeah.
So he tells them that he's waiting for the test results, but he really has a feeling that it's something. And he tells them that Stassi just attacked him, and really no reaction again. Like, Jax is just really getting nothing out of this. And this is really where it starts just putting out, because poor Jax.
He's not getting the reactions that he needs. And I think the friends have been through it enough, so it looks a little harsh, but I mean, I think this is kind of what Jax needs, and they know it. You know, they've dealt with his BS for such a long time, so there's no problem there.
So next up, we go to Sir, and we have a classic Sheena moment of her tattling to Lisa. Now, in season 1 and 2, it was huge for Sheena to be in Lisa's ear telling her what she wanted to hear. Now, I've said this before on past podcasts, but I worked for someone exactly like Lisa Vanderpump, and Lisa is the type that likes to know everything that's going on in the restaurant, whether it's good or bad, but mostly you get praised for telling her bad things. So she runs up to her and she says that Danny, one of the servers that works at Sir, has been spreading rumors about Tom and Ariana. Mm-hmm. And Lisa loves this shit. So she's like, really, tell me what's going on. And so Sheena tells her that Danny's been saying that they've hooked up, that there's chemistry, and that she's starting all this shit. So Lisa's like, bring Danny here. Mm-hmm. And I really, really believe that Lisa has the same type of personality that my boss did, because it's exactly like I always wondered, like, why does she keep putting her nose in, like, who cares? There's always restaurant drama. Like, what's the deal, Lisa? She loves it. Like, she loves the drama.
Yeah. She's like, oh, darling, young lust is so delicious.
Yeah.
To take a page from your buddies over at the other podcast.
Oh, yeah. Say it again. Sorry. I was totally,
oh, darling, young lust. It's so delicious.
Oh, Watcher Crappin.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're very good with voices. I always,
Ben and Ronnie. Yes.
Yeah. I'm
shout
always
out.
Entertained. Ben and Ronnie. Yeah. That's great stuff. Yeah. Lisa's got a very prominent role in that podcast. Her voice.
Broken bird.
No, she loves the drama. She loves the youthful lust and, you know, passion here. So she always wants to be a part of it. This is what keeps Lisa young, actually. She doesn't need to, you know, kill babies and drink their blood. No, I'm just kidding. She she stays youthful by living in proximity to the kids here.
Yeah. Right?
So she wants to know what's going on. Yeah, she wants to know what's going on, the newest trends and what the cool kids are listening to.
So this was like another classic Kristen moment. So Lisa hears about this Danny girl talking shit. So she sees Danny, walks up to her at Sir. Like, they're like at the counter. Picture them at the bar counter. And she's like, Danny, have you been spreading rumors about Ariana and Tom? Well, Kristen walks by and hears them shit talking, and she interjects herself into the conversation with Lisa. And Lisa, who to this day, none of us have figured out like what her beef is with Kristen. Like there's some kind of like Lisa hates Kristen and we don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, I think Kristen is just disrespectful. I don't think she ever gave Lisa that respect that everybody else did for her.
I guess I don't understand because like Kristen is such TV gold and Lisa has to know that. I can't believe that she doesn't, unless she's just playing it.
I think it's maybe that Kristen is, they're sort of like alpha females maybe. That are competing, mm-hmm. right? Lisa sees her as a threat, possibly, you know, I don't know. But this is an awkward exchange because like, this Danny girl gets kind of dragged, man, like kind of like filleted out in public, you know, like this is always bothered me when people are talking about something personal, even if it's about somebody else and that person walks up, like there should be a instant sort of like closing out of the conversation, you know. But people feel obligated to be like, you know, I'm not talking shit about you. I'm not talking behind your back. I'll say it to you right now. But then it becomes even more awkward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like maybe just say, look, we're having a private conversation. Well, we'll talk to you later or something. Or you know what I mean? Like it's a private conversation.
It's like what Kelly Dodd says. This is an A and B conversation. See your way out of it.
Yes, definitely. And she ends up sitting there and listening to their whole spiel, and this girl gets dragged out in front of everybody. And
I think Danny holds her own. Well, I don't know. She's always a shit starter, though.
Well, I think at first it was like they were trying to be cordial. Like Kristen was like, "Oh no, yeah, I already heard it. Like I know. Like it's no problem." Like, but then the Lisa starts really going in on it. It's like, yeah. "No, like, I would be mad if that was my boyfriend or husband." You know, like she's really pushing it, just pushing this whole fight, you know?
Yeah.
And then she starts calling in other parties. Who does she call in next? Tom. He comes sauntering over from the bar.
Yeah, it's at the bar, so it's just kind of all happening there. And yeah, it just ends up being like this like awkward exchange. And
I mean, now Danny's got to, so Lisa's got to say, she says, "Tell Tom what you said, that you said you saw this and that." She's like, "Well, no, this is, you know, this is only what I heard. Yada yada yada." And he starts getting angry about her talking about this.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, it just becomes a whole awkward exchange. And everybody's there talking about it.
So, but it kind of just ends. Like, nothing's really done about it.
She was trying to be like what most people would do. And it was like, "I don't really want to talk about it." Or like, you know, like, "Oh, this is just what I heard. I'm not sure. I don't know." You know? "No, no, no. Nothing against you, Tom. But this is just what I heard. I'm sorry. This is just what I heard."
Yeah, everyone's talking about it.
She's not taking ownership. But then they start pressing her and they're like, "Well, like, you didn't hear her correctly. Like, clean your ears out, girl." So she gets a little angry and she's like, "Well, this has been going on for a long time. This is carried over from the other places." So,
yeah.
She kind of sticks it to him.
Yeah.
Because he was being a dick, you know. Yeah, Tom got a little offended. I would be offended too if you were talking about, you know, me and my relationships, but they're not hiding it, you know what I mean? They're kind of, I think Tom is just so done with her, he doesn't care, he's just over Kristen.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't know, like, anytime they get to talking about this, and I felt this through like this entire storyline because it plays out into, you know, we have it coming up too. It gave me like anxiety, like not the type of anxiety where like you can't leave the house, not that kind, but the kind where like your blood is like going quickly, like it's pulsating quickly through your body, like when you've had too much caffeine. Mm-hmm. That's how it makes me feel when Tom and Kristen are fighting. It's like I honestly think it was a very, very real relationship with real pain behind it, and like this was really happening.
You get like an adrenaline rush.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like any time, like when I see that, like Kristen's.
That's because you're sensing real danger.
I think so. Yeah.
You know, I think Kristen is like
the day. Yeah. The danger that like she was having to leave that apartment, you know, her life, more than split up her phone bill.
More than Stassi, though, you see a situation that Stassi's in, you know, she's just going to have a breakdown and a little fit. Right.
Yeah.
She's like, but she'll blow it up to more than it is. But like a kid does, like, you know. But Kristen, I see there's some real potential for the situation to go nuclear. Like she would pull out the big guns.
Yeah.
And destroy everything.
Yeah.
Kill everybody.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's where you sense the danger, you know? It's like a mutually assured destruction because she's definitely got shit on Tom.
Yeah.
I got photos, emails, texts, just of everything. I bet she started compiling that shit the second they started dating.
Yeah.
Like his favorite, you know, food, the porn websites he likes, you know, all that stuff. Just straight blackmail, right? Like setting up blackmail.
So possibly my favorite scene out of this episode was when they're getting ready for the burlesque dance and they're doing like this crazy makeup. Like they're putting on these wild eyelash.
It was like they were sticking like your grandmother's like doily crochet like over somebody's eyes and spray painting it black.
Yes.
But it kind of made a cool effect. But I don't know. Where does that come from? Was that something from somewhere?
I don't know. It looked cool though.
Yeah. So everybody had that. And then pink.
Why can't I think? Eyelashes. False eyelashes. False
eyelashes. Yeah. They were like big.
Tinsel.
Yeah. They were like big pink
feathers.
Ones.
Yeah. So, but basically, your look was transforming into turning into like whatever costume they are putting on. Well, Sheena rolls in and she's completely done up like Paris Hilton-esque with extensions. Her hair is like curled. She looks like she spent like an hour on her makeup. She looks great. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And she sees everyone getting this like horrendous makeup done. And she's like, what's going on? They're like, you need to do your makeup and get ready because Lisa wants it that way. And she's like, I wish someone would have told me. I spent a lot of time on my hair and makeup. I'm not doing that. No. So she like flips out and like throws a scene. And Kristen's like, I'm just doing what Lisa tells me to. And so then like Sheena hears that. She's like, fuck, like I don't want to piss off Lisa. So she goes and she's like, I'm not wearing that. Like she didn't want to wear the skimpy dress and... but she ends up she falls in line and she looks cute, but she flipped out because her hair and makeup was already done.
Didn't she leave her hair down though? Didn't she have all that stuff, the crochet and the suit, but the hair was down?
I think she pulled it back.
Oh, okay.
I need to, yeah.
All right.
You always ask me something or you always say something and I don't remember. I hate that.
Yeah. I mean, this just comes up. I mean, I remember thinking about that. Like how far did she go into this costume? Did she
fully... I know, but I feel like our like...
Our listeners, let us know. Let us know.
The listeners know. You know, they're like, God, they're yelling. Like,
are you guys right. Are you guys yelling at your computer screen or phone right now? Like, you idiots. what's she doing here? She's listening to Lisa's instructions and she's following orders. So everybody's good. Everybody's a part of this show. Stassi, Katie, they start the dance and it's their little choreographed number for Guillermo, which was cool, right? Nice little dance. It was sexy.
It was cool. So Guillermo arrives. He is surprised. You know, Lisa walks in with him and it's like this big reveal. And they present him with this bustier cake, you know, some boobs on it and everything's sexy and cool. And
I see a lot of, birthday parties and celebrations for Guillermo, Peter, right? Like upper tier management. But there's never, like, they don't do this sort of thing for the people. You know what I mean? Like, did Jax ever have a party like this?
No.
No. Like, Peter's got a couple
of
these.
Yes, Jax does. Brittany has since thrown Jax many parties.
Okay. I mean, I know Stassi has.
And there's been the roast of Jax. Remember that?
Ah, that's right. Okay. All right. Never mind. So everybody gets the...
Well, some people, unfortunately, their parties are off season. So it's always Stassi, Ariana, Jax, Sandoval, there are some people who have their parties like off season. It sucks.
Uh-huh. Stassi. So Stassi was when? When's her birthday?
June.
June. That's prime shooting time?
Yes.
Okay.
This year we have her 30th birthday party that was filmed, and she had a birthday with Ariana for the first time. They are going to join forces and do like a Game of Thrones party.
They've come a long way from foes.
Yeah. So we are here for that and excited for that. We have, I mean, this season, like, there's so much shit. I'm so excited. We have Brittany and Jax's engagement. We have, and did you hear that Sarah and I are going to Kentucky?
I did. Yeah. Very exciting stuff to cover the wedding.
Yes.
Like, you guys are going to rent a helicopter and fly over the property.
Oh my God.
Oh no, I just gave her an idea. Her eyes just lit up like, ah.
Oh my God. Or we could drone in.
Helicopters are dangerous. I couldn't imagine, like, you know, Holly and Sarah die in a...
No, stop it. That's horrible.
Helicopter crash.
The F.
Just don't do that. It's crazy. Yeah, no.
Just use a drone.
A drone. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
I'm sure Bravo would be cool with that. It's all, over the...
You smack into the Bravo drone.
And not giving away any secrets yet, but let's just say that we may be paying a visit to some people who are in the Kentucky area.
Yes.
Like, there's so many things that I want to see there. I want to see Sherry's tanning salon. I want to see the farm. I want to see, like, everything. And I know we have some listeners out there. We're coming for you. We want to come hang out. So let's start planning that.
Those Kentucky listeners.
Yes.
Great. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this season, season two is, you know, coming along slowly, guys. I know we said we would get these episodes out, but we promise we're going to start.
Yeah. Know. So we got this one out while my daughter's at preschool, the baby's sleeping. We got it done. And right before we are hosting Thanksgiving for the first time ever in our new house. I'm so nervous, guys. I've never hosted a big group of people like this. I'm freaking out.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of work.
I've made Chad like the garage, the car is like parked out of the garage because I'm just like hiding stuff in the garage to act like I have a nice, clean, like simplified house. All the toys are out in the garage.
Yeah.
And it's only Monday and I'm freaking out. Like, I've been looking on Pinterest at all these like table settings. Like, am I supposed to have like name cards for everyone? I don't know. So we'll see what I can pull off. And on top of that, I decided to decorate for Christmas before. So,
well, I think that's kind of a newer thing. People like to decorate. Like, you see a lot of holiday decorations before the holidays, like way before the specified holidays. There's already decorations of the other holiday.
You know, I just figured since we're going to like be cleaning the house so well, like, we might as well just get everything up, because otherwise we're going to be so exhausted from having all these people over, and then Christmas would be up late. And
yeah, that's true. I mean, and we wanted to get these episodes out to you guys, so we're probably going to try to record another one before the Christmas or the Thanksgiving holiday. Give you something to listen to maybe while while your family's
there. Yeah, let us know if you want another retro episode before Thanksgiving. Yeah, hit us up and I'll show them to Chad and make him do it.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, so give you guys something to, you know, you can bury your head in your phone while your family's there. Something to ignore your family with.
Yes!
Like, or if your annoying relatives are watching football or whatever, you can listen to
One more thing, you guys. I'm going to post this today. I don't know how many of you guys are going to listen to this episode before I post this, but just in case, I really want to do a gift list, like a what to buy for Christmas this year. I'm going to post up some links of stuff that Chad and I are talking about that we think are cool gifts, but I really, really want to hear from you guys what you're buying for your friends, families. Like, what's the cool thing this season? Like, we need ideas. We have like, for just like random people in your family, like, is there like a cool thing that you're giving as a gift? We want to hear about it. Or if you have a business, we'd love to support you. Let us know, you know, like, what the cool stuff is. Yeah. And what's going on. Like, give us the trends.
Very cool idea. Yes. It used to be so easy with, you know, you just buy a DVD, a CD.
Oh my God, you guys, Chad, this is Chad's go-to gift. Like, it was so embarrassing for like years. This is what we would do. We would go to Best Buy and he would buy every single person DVD sets.
Yeah. So, I mean, that
you know how expensive those Fs were?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what we were thinking. Like, we would buy people DVD, like a One Tree Hill set.
Yeah.
And everyone would love it. But now it's not as cool because you have everything streaming. So mm-hmm. it's kind of a pain to get a DVD.
Yeah.
So Chad needs some ideas.
So let us know, guys. What are the new things?
And yesterday, the listeners will... I don't know if you'll get a kick out of it, but I did. In an episode of the Real Housewives of Dallas, they had a Yeti cooler. And I was asking the listeners about like if the Yeti cooler is cool. And some people said yes. Some people said it's not really a difference. I was over at REI over by Bed Bath & Beyond. There was, I'm not kidding, seven people. I counted seven people walking out with these freaking Yeti coolers. Like
it's
every
a Yeti cooler.
A Yeti cooler is like the new cool, like cooler, like you put your drinks in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know. It's some name brand expensive cooler.
Cool. Yeah, guys, so, shoot us some ideas. What do you buy for people?
Yeah,
for
and I am seriously going to compile a...
or make.
A list.
Like, what do you make? Like, is there some custom thing? Like, maybe you sell your products on Etsy or you know, you have a store. Let us know.
Yeah, there was a gal who posted in our Facebook today about her company that she has that she's trying to earn some extra money with the t-shirts that she makes. We support you guys in whatever you are doing. You absolutely can, you know, shout out your business on our page. We love to support you. So I'll do a post about that and then I'm going to compile a list. Also, if you use our links when I post that list and buy from Amazon, we are an affiliate partner with them. So we would get like a little bit, like I think it's like a couple of cents on your sale or something, and it's nothing comes out, it's the same exact price for you, but it helps support the podcast, and that would be super awesome. So yeah,
that would go towards Chad's presents or his
yeah, because as of right now I'm doing no shopping because everything I'm spending is for our viewing party.
Christmas is gonna be a meager celebration this year for
but
sure.
It's worth it. I'm so excited to see you guys at the viewing party. I really hope you can come. Again, it's Monday right now at about 11 a.m. here in Cali. Sarah and I are going to record tomorrow night. Her family's there. Her mom's going to be there. Her sister's going to be there. So hoping it's going to be a wine-fueled recording. And we're going to be talking about all the social media stuff. We're going to cover Vanderpump Dogs and the dog event, all that stuff. So
I mean, that's great. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff coming up, but yeah, it's a fun time of year. Everybody come together with your family and friends. But yeah, to get back to the episode, let's wrap it up here. The party goes down without a hitch. Everything's cool. Everybody's celebrating. We get some news about Jax, right? Is there just nothing really going on with him? It's like what everybody thought. It's benign. Did they biopsy? He went through his procedure, right?
Everything's
cool. Well, we didn't get to close out the seven stages of Jax, but here, seven stages of grief: shock, denial, pain, guilt, anger, depression, reconstruction, acceptance, and hope. All that stuff. Show me. You guys send what you think the seven stages of Jax are. Post that in the
okay
in the links there. What the seven stages of Jax were. Ours were bitterness. What did we say? We'll go back to the episode and
yeah,
break it down. But yeah, the first one was Jax. His first stage was bitterness. And then something else in there. I kind of forgot. I didn't write it down. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll compile our list and we'll let you guys, chime in and get some votes in too.
Yeah. But so Jax is, he finds out that there's, you know, there's nothing wrong with him really.
I thought that he found out that he had a biopsy, but the doctor couldn't confirm that he did or did not have cancer and that it was still sore. So he really left a question mark looming. But Stassi just kind of finished it up with, it's nothing. Everyone's just giving it you're just, you know, a faker. And that's when he ends it with saying, what I have learned from this is that I don't want to be with someone like Stassi anymore. I don't want to be with someone who treats people the way she does. I don't want to be with someone who talks to me the way that she does. And he kind of closes the book on Stassi.
Yeah, and you would think like that's rich coming from Jax. Like, dude, like you're the one to talk. But it's true. Like if you're spending all your energy and time on this and it's something's not worth saving or it's not going anywhere, then yes, please cut it off. Maybe she was hoping for that realization from him, because she doesn't seem too heartbroken over that. But yeah, he realizes if that's something that he gets from all of this, it's that.
But see, this is the gate. This is why I always loved watching Stassi and Jax, because the second that Jax says that, then Stassi's interested again.
Yeah.
Then she, like, you know, he's like, oh yeah, I banged a girl yesterday. She's jealous again. Even though she just said she doesn't want to be with him, mm-hmm. she still is jealous. And that's what I live for.
Which I think is the description of the next episode, basically.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happens. Yeah, I think that's in the preview there.
Okay.
But no, there was something there with Jax, actually. So this wasn't nothing. He did have a lump, you know. He had a build up of tissue there, so that has to be removed. And I don't know if they took it all now. I think he comes back at a later time.
They only tested it.
Okay. So he's got to come back at a later time and still have surgery. You know, he still has to have this removed. So it's a little bit of a procedure. But Jack's, another thing too that happened during the party was Jack's tried his routine on Stassi, and then he moved on to Tom and Tom. Right?
Yes.
For sympathy. And then he moved on to Lisa ultimately. And this was kind of inadvertently. He wasn't really trying to get it, but he had to explain why he had his shirt on at the party.
Yeah, she's like, this is supposed to be a sexy party. Get that shirt off.
Yeah, and he was down in the dumps, and he said he wasn't really feeling that. And I think he got a little bit of what he was looking for from Lisa, right? Just a little bit?
I think so.
Yeah. And then the two dancers even came and talked to him, and, you know, and they were,
yeah,
they honed in on Jax's, you know, his sad nature, I guess.
Yeah.
And he was denying them, right? He wasn't feeling it.
Yeah.
This is the first time Jax has ever turned down sexual advances, right? Because they were flirting, but he wasn't.
He wasn't biting. No.
No, he was too wrapped up in.
Yeah, he was in his head. Like, he has a lot going on right now.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell when, you know, Jax is really thinking of something important. He's like,
it's written all over his face.
He really blocks everybody out. And, you know, I think the most important thing to Jax is Jax.
Yeah.
So he was really feeling that. But she, Stassi eventually, you know, pulls him outside to say, well, I think she sees him talking to the girls and gets a little pissed, but, she pulls him outside and says, look, I'm sorry. I didn't want to seem cold, but you know, I'm here for you. Yada, yada, yada. And you know, I'm sorry if you feel like I wasn't there for you, but I am. And then he tells her, you know, he can't confirm whether it's cancer, but you know, they'll see. But that's when he decides, yeah, she's not going in for a further relationship. So he's kind of had it. So,
yeah.
And I think that rounds out the episode. And
yeah,
yeah, we see more of a little bit more of their kind of, relationship sort of dying out in the next episode. It's sort
of, I don't like this part.
Yeah, it's wrapping up. You know, this is it really.
Do you think, I know we have to end this episode soon, but do you think that in season 7, you know, Jax is going to get ready to marry, to propose to Brittany. Do you think that he's going to have a moment where he and Stassi have a talk and they're like, this could have been us?
No, I don't, because I think they had that opportunity. I think they had that opportunity throughout the seasons to revisit something to that effect, but she was always off doing something else, and he had been shamed into just completely
trying to do something else. But I feel like from like season 1 till now, like we've all known that Stassi is the one who wants to get married the most.
Yeah.
are they going to show any sort of pain that, I mean, I know she doesn't want to marry Jax. I know Jax doesn't want to marry her, but do you think it still stings?
I think a little bit. Yeah. I think anytime she sees one of her friends getting married definitely makes her like jealous or angry that that's not her, especially when she, yeah, it seems like the ones that want to get married the most have the hardest time going down that route.
Sarah and I are going to delve into this more, but just really quick. I haven't told Chad this. So on social media, Jax went live the other night. Someone in our Facebook group posted this. I didn't get to see it, but he went live and was like, hi, like all jacked up, and was like going off and basically announced that Stassi secretly got married when she was in Paris.
What?
I mean, not married, engaged. Like basically announced her engagement and then deleted it.
Are you serious?
Like, can you imagine if they really did and that idiot just like told everyone?
Do you think he's just bullshitting?
I don't know.
Engaged to the new guy?
To Bo.
Okay. Maybe it was just a spur of the moment thing and they didn't really, I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know.
Sounds like Stassi. Who knows? Yeah, I mean, I think he'd be in trouble. Definite trouble with the cast. Yeah. But
all right, you guys, we'll be back with another episode. Again, hit it, like, let us know if you want another one. Like I said, Chad needs a lot of motivation to record. Yes. almost did a solo retro episode because I was like sitting here and I'm like, I have no one to record with. What am I going to do? But I need him to do it with me. So tweet us, Insta us, Facebook group us.
And give us the seven stages of Jax and also
your gift list.
Yes, your gift list. Gift ideas. Let us know what you're doing over the holiday season. Happy holidays, guys.
Yes.
We'll try to put out another one for you to have, like I said, something to, you know, curl up to while you're chilling for this.
Like a good spiced eggnog.
Yes, exactly. By the fireplace.
Yes.
Retro podcasts.
Woo. Okay. Bye, you guys.
Peace out.